I'm going to pinch hit for him this weekend. Unfortunately, he was taken down with a sick bug, and you may already know that. I don't know. So pray for him. I think he's responding well to his meds. And if he and Tiffany can handle each other's company at home this week, they'll be in good shape. So it was supposed to be funny. He wasn't. Okay. So this morning, we're gonna do something a little bit different because we've been traveling through the Old Testament, and we're in the book of Ezekiel. So good news for you. If you need a little catch-up time, this is your moment because we're going to hit pause on the Old Testament and call a timeout for today's moment, and we're going to step back into the New Testament. And so if you have a little bit of catch-up to do on reading or just further study, here you go. It's the gift to you this morning, and it's a little harder to prepare a sermon on Ezekiel in short notice than something else that has been ruminating on the heart. So I want to ask you this question because thinking about some experiences in life, and I hope you all have had this experience, but who here has had roommates before? Roommates? Okay, most of you. If you're married, you should raise your hand. Otherwise, it's a little weird, okay? So, roommates. How many of you have had really good roommates? Raise your hand. Oh, that's good. All right, how about anybody have a bad roommate story? Okay, quite a few hands. The early services, they all had good people around them, I guess, but you guys have got a lot more bad roommate stories, but I was thinking about roommates and some of my experiences because I grew up in Nebraska, and so my first real roommate experience was probably, like many of you, going to college. And so I went to the University of Nebraska and the Kearney campus. That was the name of the community, Kearney. So we had UNK, and the joke was, you can't spell drunk without UNK. So I was really nervous as I was preparing for college and wondering, who's going to be my roommate? Are they going to want to spell UNK all the time? And so I remember getting this letter, and the university, back in the day when we did mail, said, here's your roommate, and here's where he's from, and here's his contact info. How many of you would reach out and initiate contact ahead of time? Raise your hand. How many of you are like, no, don't want to know? I'm just going to wing it when we get there. How many of you are like that? I decided to be that. I decided to be like, yeah, I'm just going to see what I get. Well, lo and behold, I thought I was going to be going to room with Greg. But I showed up, and it wasn't Greg. There was a last-minute switcheroo. It's a good thing I didn't reach out in the first place because the university said, nope, you're going to have a new roommate, Kyle. So I remember walking into my dorm room, the University of Nebraska, and in the dorm room, you know, you have this awkward moment of like, hey, we're going to live with each other for a long time now, okay, so what's your name? So you kind of have this weird moment of, I don't know you, but we're going to live with each other. But I did notice that he had these this tower of CDs, which those are compact discs for the younger generation. They played music. And so you'd insert them into a CD player and magic would happen. And so I noticed in the CD tower all these Christian CDs. And I was like, maybe we won't be the drunk UNK. That's great. And so I also noticed there's a guitar over here, and I was like, I'm going to like this guy because I like music. And so we began to get to know each other and found out, oh, I have a good roommate. I was really blessed because my roommate story turned out to be this guy was my best friend and became the best man at my wedding. I was a pretty fortunate guy. Some of you probably went to school and had a totally different experience, and I feel for you. I heard some of those horror stories. But I was thinking about the significance of that person that we room with, that we dwell with. Because who we choose to live with and dwell with and do life with makes a significant difference on how life unfolds, does it not? Today, I want us to go into one verse in the book of Colossians, because the Apostle Paul is going to kind of drive this thing home about who you choose to live with, who you choose to have dwelling with. And so Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 is our one verse to just kind of mull in and settle into today. There's so many in the book of Colossians that we could go to, but For today, one verse. Colossians 3:16. I believe it's on the screen. Let the message of Christ, or let the word of Christ, dwell in you richly. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, the hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Everybody say, dwell. Dwell. I love this because Paul, who's writing this letter to these believers, these Christians who are trying to figure out faith and in a world of lots of ideas and lots of conflicting philosophies, pressing in on them. It's kind of like us. I mean, they didn't have the internet, but they had plenty of ideas bombarding them, competing for their attention and their allegiance of their hearts. And Paul is reminding them about their faith, reminding them about how to walk with Jesus in everyday life. I'm going to bank on the fact that many of you are here today because you want to know how to live with Jesus every day, or you need some encouragement to do that. Maybe you need that word from the Lord, and you know that when we open the scriptures, you're going to receive life here today. And Paul says this message of Christ, this word of Christ, is powerful. So he says, I want this message to dwell with you, among you, in you, in your midst. It's kind of like, think about house rules. Most of you probably don't have posted house rules, but you probably have some unspoken. Anybody have unspoken house rules? Like if the kids are in the home, like this is how we treat the furniture. We don't write on the walls. We don't, you know, that type of stuff. Anybody have some unspoken house rules or spoken? You are all liars, okay? There's also cultural cues of like when you go visit somebody's house, you probably enter into that space a little bit differently than you would if it was your own. I think about dwelling in my own space. I love just the relaxed nature of my own space because at home, what can you do? You can roll in through the door after a long day, kick off your shoes. In fact, that's kind of an unspoken house rule and spoken many days for the kids. Take off your shoes, right? Kick off your shoes, plop down on the couch, kick your feet up, lean back, relax. You can even go rummage through the fridge. Now, I'm going to guess that if you go as a guest to somebody else's house, if you were to be invited to lunch by somebody in this room today, you probably wouldn't just like roll into their house, especially if it's your first time over their place. Kick off your feet, go jump down on the couch, kick them up, and let your socks with the holes in them grace the coffee table. Be like, hey, what you got in the fridge? And go rifle through there. I mean, that takes a little bit of time, right, to build that kind of a relationship. But Paul says, I want the message of Christ to dwell in you. Not like a guest, but like a permanent resident. I want the message of Christ, this hope of Jesus' truth, to kick up its feet in your heart, to put its feet up on the coffee table and be at home with you. Now, here's the thing. Think about dwelling and who you dwell with. Paul says this is the roommate you need to have. But there are other roommates that try to come knocking, and they try to come and live in our space, right? I want you to think about some of these. I've got some friends who are going to help me today. Sometimes you might have guilt come knocking at your door. And guilt wants to sit down on the couch and say, no, 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 I'm at home here. Guilt. Maybe you've done something in your life and you're like, man, I cannot shake this guilt. It follows me everywhere I go. Sometimes guilt wants to be your roommate. Sometimes insecurity comes knocking at your door. And you feel like you're filled with all these questions about your identity and your purpose, and you're wondering, who am I, and do I really have worth and value? And you get hit up with all these insecurity thoughts. And they just want to make their home in your mind and your heart. Sometimes bitterness comes your way because somebody does something to you. And sometimes the wrong that has been given to you, done to you, is horrific. But it could even be small. But bitterness says, I'm going to come and I think I'd make a good roommate in your heart. You need to get even. You need to have some retribution. And so bitterness comes in and kicks off the shoes and says, I'm going to hang out here for a while. Could be feelings of defeat. Maybe defeat is coming your way. And it's just like life just keeps pounding you. It's like, man, I just cannot catch a break. I try to do the right thing. But every single day, I feel like I'm falling on my face. And defeat is just pounding you and setting up shop in your living room. Worry is another one. Statistics today are showing that we are a society that is consumed with worry and anxiety. Many hypotheses about why that is, but the reality is we are just spinning in these realms of worriness. We're consumed about what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day. What about 5 years from now? What about all these things we hear on the news? And what about my safety and my security for the future? Like, where is that going to be? And we get wrapped up in worry and anxiety. Sometimes it's a more subtle one, control. Sometimes control comes knocking at the door and says, you know who's the best boss? You are. Control. Why don't you control your life? Why don't you call the shots? Why don't you make the decisions for you? And control comes in full of deception and says, you got this. Why don't we just camp out here together? You and me. Control. But Paul says, the message of Christ is what I want to dwell in the living room furniture. These things will destroy us. But Paul says, the message of Christ actually speaks a better word than all of these things. Because when guilt is coming, the message of Christ and the cross and his story of redemption says there's a better word. There is. Grace. We talk about St. John's being a church of grace and truth. We need grace, don't we? We need the riches of all that Christ has given to us to say, I'm going to wash away all the wrong that you've done. This is grace. We need grace. Paul says the message of Christ, rather than insecurity being what hangs out in your living room, something better is going to come your way. You're going to have the confidence and security of unconditional love of Christ. You remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not when you were at your best, but when you were at your absolute worst. When I was at my absolute worst, God saw the most horrific things in my heart, and he said, but yet I love that one. And so I'm coming for that one. That drives out our insecurity. Sometimes when that bitterness comes knocking and we want to be trapped in our own prison of seeking our own retribution, the message of Christ says, no, 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 bitterness doesn't have to keep you in its prison because you remember that I am the God of justice. I am the God who everyone will give an account to at the final day. And so therefore, you don't have to be the judge. You can seek justice on this earth, but ultimately you don't have to be consumed by bitterness because you can entrust that justice ultimately to me, the righteous, perfect judge. When we have these feelings of defeat and we feel completely weak, the message of Christ says, actually, it's in your weakness that I display incredible strength. And so he turns our defeat into a place of strength. The message of Christ says, this is where I show up and show off. When you feel like you can't do it, guess what? I can. And so Jesus shows up into those spaces and says, I am your source of strength. When we get to that place of worry, we're consumed with it. The message of Christ says, I have a much better boss for you. Worry doesn't get to boss you around, but instead peace shall be your boss. I love this because in the verse right before, verse 16, it says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Sign me up. Peace, you can boss me around all the time. Anytime you want, you just tell me what is peaceful and peace-giving. I'm there for it, right? He says, let the peace of Christ, let that be your boss. Let that dwell within you. This is the message of Christ, what he brings. Peace with the Father. Peace with the triune God. Once we were alienated and separated in our sins, but he says, now you have peace with God. That's the message of the cross. It's the message of our hope and our gospel. That last one, that sneaky one, that deceitful one, control. We think we're really good at controlling our lives. I've fallen into this trap way too many times. But instead of control, he says, the message of the cross is actually one of surrender. Because the cross models surrender and calls us to a place of surrender. The message of the cross is not just about you, it's about the glory of God. And it's a call to following Jesus in everyday life as his disciples. And what does that require of us? It requires of us great surrender, doesn't it? It requires us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and follow him. That's what Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 9. This is the message of Christ, who has come to us, God who has come to us, and said, let's get rid of these bad roommates. Let's kick them out. Because sometimes, let's be honest, is it hard to get rid of a bad roommate if you've had one? It can be really hard to get rid of a bad roommate. Sometimes you're stuck, right? Don't nudge your spouse right now, okay? That'd be awkward for everybody around you, right? But Jesus comes in and says, I'll take care of evicting the bad roommates. You don't have to try this in your own strength. Jesus shows up and says, I get rid of them, I take care of them, and I supplant them with my message, with my truth. And here's the thing, Jesus, he's not just a roommate. The message of the gospel, it's not just a roommate message. Because Jesus is so much more than a roommate. He is a ruler. And I think about roommates typically share the space. But Jesus is not just stopping in like an Airbnb stop. Like, this is a permanent residence. He says, I'm not just going to hang out here, but I own the place. And Jesus shows up and says, yeah, full access is mine. Now, does anybody have a room in your house or a closet in your house? Like, if a guest comes last minute, unannounced, unexpected, suddenly all the toys and all the random objects get thrown in that place? Nobody's going to confess it, but we've been guilty of that. Quick, hurry, pick up all the things, throw them in there. And then when the guest comes over, you're like, make yourself at home, just not in there, right? And sometimes we do that with the Lord, don't we? We're like, hey, come in, make your home here, just not there. Because I have this closet that you can't get into. This is not a full access place, Jesus. And so sometimes we quarantine off sections of our heart, sections of our the future that we try to control or map out. All the things we say, Jesus, yes, but not this. And Paul reminds us that Jesus is a full access God. He is the one in Colossians 1 and 2, he says, that deserves first place. He has preeminence in everything. That can be really scary. Because you're like, I feel really naked and vulnerable if you're going to have full access to everything that's inside of my heart and my mind. But again, the message of Christ is all these good words that are spoken into our vulnerability. The place of feeling exposed and open. The message of Christ moves in and says, I am a good master. I am a good ruler. You want me to own the house because I know exactly how it's designed and meant to thrive. You want me to be in charge here. And so we think about this for today and kind of Paul's thrust through the letter of Colossians, answering the question, how do I live this life that's worthy of Christ, that's vibrant and a bright light in the community? One of the ways, one of the foundational ways, is this simple verse. Let the word of Christ, let the message of Christ dwell, live in you, abide in you permanently as ruler, as master, with full access, let it dwell in you richly. I love this. This is one of those places where you can be like, God wants me to be rich. Rich in the message of the gospel. That the gospel, the good news of Jesus, informs every single part of my life. Not just the Sunday day. Not just Wednesday. If I'm super spiritual, I go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. He says, no, no, no. This is wherever you go, whenever you go, all the time, all the ways. This is the gospel. Richly. Abundantly. This is the time when quantity is awesome. This isn't just a quality is better than quantity. This is a both and. Bring the quality and bring the quantity. There is an abundance mentality here with this message of Christ. One of the things that I love is that this church is committed to the message of Christ. When we come here on Sundays and gather in this place, we are committed to read the scripture. To rehearse the message. You think about the simplicity of the Apostles' Creed. Most of you in this room memorize it. You did when you were in sixth grade, and you rehearse it every single week. Even if parts of it get a little fuzzy sometimes, you still can rattle out good portions of it. Guess what the creed is? It's kind of like the cliff notes to the message of Christ. And so we have this dwelling, the message of Christ, dwelling in us in abundance and quantity, and that privileges, now it gets worked out in quality as we live Monday through Saturday and into Sunday. You guys have been great sports. Thank you. You're like dying up here now, so you can sit down so people aren't staring at you. Round of applause for our youth. Aren't they great? Trent is rocking the house with these guys, and I appreciate you all. Thank you for coming up as an object lesson. But this week, as we prepare to go, I want you to just think about that dwelling. How is the word of Christ dwelling in you? Is there full access? Is there quantity? This is a time, not a time to skimp. And here's how it can show up. It can just be simple, simple little things. Like in your conversations, which so often are surrounded by, or filled with, I should say, like football, right? It's football season, so I'm guilty of this. Like, we talk a lot about football. I enjoy football. But how much do I also talk about what is the Lord doing in my life? And just ask that question to the people that you see, and I know many of you do. And if you haven't done this, it can feel scary at first. To just be like, all right, you just want me to ask, how are you doing with Jesus? Yeah. Just lob it out there. You know, hand grenade for the conversation. See what happens. It's exciting, right? How's your walk with God going? And just kind of like lean in, listen, long to hear. It's as simple as that. That invitation says we're going to let this dwell in our conversation richly. As we talk about our parenting, we're going to let the word of Christ inform us. As we talk about work and how we're surviving and thriving and even strategizing for how to be better at work, we're saying, well, how does the message of Christ shape this? When I'm going to school, I'm having all those school conversations, we're figuring out, all right, how can the message of Christ make its way in my conversations, especially with other believers, when we're passing through in the hallways? Where is the place that you can weave this in and invite the dwelling of the message of Christ, that it might do so richly? And then the fun part is, as it dwells in us, notice what Paul says? It begins to transform us, because he says this word of Christ will then exhort us. It will admonish us. It teaches us. Because Jesus shows up in our space, and like a master designer, he says, I know how to renovate this place. I know which walls need to be broken down. My wife was trained in interior design in college. 4 years studying this degree of more than just picking out like wallpapers. Most people are like, oh, you know wallpaper, that's great. Like my wife can come in and she can be like, oh yeah, we studied some basics of electricity and plumbing and load-bearing walls. And so when we show up in a house, which we've done a few times, you can say, all right, I see what it is, but now we see what it can be. And she's got this gift to walk in and be like, let's knock out this wall over here. It's a little dark over here, so we need to put a window in and let's let some light in to come into this place. What a great picture that Jesus, when we say, come dwell in my space, he comes in as that ruler and that master transformer who says, this wall, I guess cutting off the flow in here. Let's, boom, let's knock that thing out. Let's open up the space in our life. We need a little more freedom in here. Man, it's a little dark in this zone. Punch a hole right through that wall. Let's get a window going. Let's reroute some of the electricity and the plumbing. Let's make this place glorious. And that's what Jesus does in us. And so as we're taught, as we're admonished, as we're challenged, as we're rearranged, guess what happens? Joy fills our dwelling. And Paul says, guess what you do then? You sing psalms, you sing spiritual songs, and your hearts are filled with gratitude as you experience the goodness of Jesus. So this week, as you go, our prayer is that you will walk with the permanent resident Jesus, who is the master ruler, transformative agent in your heart, and that you'll give him full access to everything that you've got. Let us pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word that is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, that it penetrates deep within. We trust that you have been active in us today because you're faithful to your truth. And so we just pray that you would give us courage to let you have free reign in the homes of our hearts. And we pray that as a community of worshipers at St. John's, that we would allow your dwelling to be in us, with us, wherever we go. Make us a vibrant testimony to your glory, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Would you stand?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here behind. Praise Him above. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
So how do we live in Christ day to day? We live in Christ by allowing his message to live in us. It's that simple. So this week as you go, may you go in the joy of that message and the good news that it brings. So may the love of the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore. Amen.
A prayer, you can pray for him. Trent got in trouble with his words this morning. He's still a new husband and a father, which means some sleepless nights. You might pray for Trent as well and pray for their ministries and their work, but they're certainly available to pray for you as well. So let's quiet and still our hearts for just a moment, and I'm going to invite you to come as the Lord leads you. And so, Lord, you invite us to your table. You offer us the assurance of the grace that we have in Christ. Indeed, this morning, you can come free. You're free to stop, sing, worship, continue to meditate. Join us here in our prayer stations. Sit here and pray and praise and come forward as you feel inclined. Thank you.
Where there is no
to renew and to restore. And so trusting you are, you have done, are doing, and will do just this, we pray as Christ himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
He may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. Amen.